Chapter 8. Accidental Shooting of a Child. The 5-year-old boy heard the noise of a gun, and curiosity prompted him to run outside and investigate. It was very dark, and he couldn't see the men aiming guns at each other. All of a sudden, the boy felt a sharp pain in his back. He fell down crying in pain. The men heard the boy crying and understood immediately what had happened. "Oh my, we have shot the boy," they cried. The mother of the boy came running out the door and screamed, "What have you done to my little boy? Oh, my lovely little boy, why did they hurt you?" All hate was gone. It was like a wake-up call for the men. "We are extremely sorry, ma'am," they said to the mother. "We'll call an ambulance for the boy." Both in their 40s, the roguish men now appeared very remorseful. The mother hugged the little one very tenderly. "It hurts my back, Mom, when you hug me," the boy said. She looked at the men and asked, "What happened to my Charlie?" They replied, with their faces averted in shame, "He was shot by accident." The mother began to scream again. The boy said, "Mom, they couldn't help it. They didn't know I was there. It was very dark outside." The men gave the boy a grateful look. When the ambulance arrived, they gave a detailed description of the accident and asked the paramedics if they could lift the poor boy onto the stretcher. "Please, we feel so bad after what we did to him." With guidance from the ambulance attendants, they lifted the boy ever so tenderly and gently onto the stretcher. The men kissed his cheek. Even the mother was touched by this moment of affection. She asked the paramedics, "Could I sit beside my son?" "Of course, ma'am," they responded. With their eyes, the men followed the ambulance until it disappeared into the darkness of the night. The mother stroked the boy's face every now and then. Her husband had gone out hunting and hadn't returned yet. "Who knows when he will be back?" she said to herself. "He has a will of his own, and you can't question him. He thinks he knows it all. Wait until he finds out what happened to our little boy. Would he know the answer to that as well? The two men better disappear for a while, or else there will be another shooting." "Mrs. Robinson, could you tell us some more about the shooting?" the ambulance attendant asked. "Not really," she replied, and then told them how she had heard the shooting and her boy's cry. "He complained about pain in his lower back," she finished. "Yes, we understand," they said compassionately. They also understood the mother wasn't ready for the bad news. It was up to the doctor to inform her. The boy was very brave and didn't cry anymore. The paramedics could guess as to what had happened to the nerves in the lumbar region. "Mrs. Robinson, did the police get involved in this accident?" they asked. "We never even thought to call the police," she replied. The attendant made a note of it. The boy, at his age, had a hard time comprehending it all. Why was he in this kind of car? It looked so different from his dad's car. Where was he going, and why was his mother so sad? What all these people in the car were doing and why they were there was beyond his understanding. The ambulance stopped in front of the emergency doors, and the patient was wheeled in the direction of the first OR. The paramedics related the shooting details to the doctor in charge. "Well, we better take an X-ray first to locate the bullet," said the doctor, and then he mumbled under his breath, "Most unusual to see a boy that young with a gunshot wound." We took the boy to the X-ray department. I lifted up his leg and asked him if he could hold it up. He couldn't. The technician looked at me, and we shared a silent mutual understanding about the horrible predicament this boy was facing already in his life. Paralyzed from the waist down, a future in a wheelchair, most likely. We all felt very sad that this young child and his parents had to face this.